Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Well, Governor Rick Snyder today hosting a media roundtable in Lansing. The focus, Detroit's ongoing fiscal crisis and what will likely happen next, with the review team's recommendations set for March 26th and the proposed consent agreement immediately rejected by Detroit city officials. To talk about it all, I'm joined by Terry Stanton, Public Information Officer for the Michigan Department of Treasury. Terry, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
So Detroit Mayor Dave Bing says he is now working on an alternative to this agreement. Is it likely that we could see an agreement that would somehow retain the power of the mayor and city council in Detroit, or is that just not realistically effective in addressing Detroit's budget crisis?
Well, I think we'll have to see what is, you know, submitted by the mayor and city council. They have, in various press reports and whatnot, indicated that, you know, they're working on what they call a counter proposal, if you will, and it sounds as though that's something that that could be done, in the short period of time within the next few days. So it will determine or depend really on what's included in that. But clearly, you know, time is of the essence. The review team is required to make a recommendation to the governor by March 26th. So, as noted a minute ago, time is of the essence.
When it comes to this recommendation, how is it going to be formatted? Is it going to recommend steps Detroit needs to take, or is it simply going to say, you know, we need to have an EFM step in and you know, figure out the details here?
Well, at this point, the review team recommendation really has to be one of three options: that there's no or mild financial stress in the city, that there's financial stress, significant financial stress, but that a consent agreement is in place, or that there's a financial emergency. And obviously, the intent at this point is to to reach a consent agreement. The governor and the treasurer have said all along that the best case scenario would be for the city to develop its own solution, long term, short term, and move forward with that if it's a workable solution. But if that isn't to occur, then the next best step is a proposed is a consent agreement rather under PA4.
Well, the issue the mayor is having, Mayor Bing is having, is that this 9-member advisory board would basically eclipse him and the city council and have basically full control of Detroit's finances. Are the choices this 9-member kind of overseeing advisory board or an EFM, or can the mayor still be in control of this process?
Well, again, the draft proposed language was presented to the review team and, of course, to city council members earlier this week. Again, it was draft proposed language. And under that, the mayor would continue to provide strategic direction and policy leadership for the city. City council would continue in its role as the legislative body for the city. It's only that, you know, the financial management and stability of the city would be under the guidance of that financial advisory board. So the mayor would stay in place and have a good amount of authority, as would the council as the legislative body. So, you know, it's important, I think, throughout this process to know that the governor and the administration are really committed to working with the city through this crisis and to help the city get back on sound financial footing.
Now, from what I know, the consent agreement notes that this 9-member advisory board won't have the power to dissolve collective bargaining or existing contracts, but don't existing union contracts make up a major part of Detroit's long-term fiscal problems?
Well, that's the case in most local units of government that are experiencing financial difficulties. 75% to 85% of a local unit's cost structure is based in compensation and benefits and long-term expenses related to those. And under a consent agreement, you know, there are a number of steps that could be taken. The first step is to reach an agreement on the structure of such a consent agreement, and that's the process we're in right now. Obviously, the draft proposed language was provided to the city, and the city now indicates that that they're drafting what they term as a counter proposal. So we'll see what transpires next.
What would be the process, though? Because an EFM could go in and strike down these contracts, but without that power, how would they go about addressing this very contentious issue?
On the union side of things?
Yeah, these contracts and the details of them.
Right. Under a consent agreement, all of the authorities bestowed upon an emergency manager really could be provided to the mayor under a consent agreement structure, with the exception of the authority to set aside or alter collective bargaining agreements. That being said, there is a provision within PA4 that allows for, if a consent agreement is in place, upon the expiration of a collective bargaining agreement, after a certain period of time, the local unit can institute its last best offer. So there's no requirement that the city bargain upon the expiration of a collective bargaining agreement. The city would be able to institute an offer. So, you know, there are some potential remedies there, and I think it's also important to note that in conjunction with the consent agreement, the treasurer mentioned earlier this week at the review team meeting, or following the review team meeting, that there's about $137 million in refinancings and bond issues that the city could do with the state's assistance through the Michigan Finance Authority that would free up a significant amount of cash for the city as far as cash flow goes to help them with, you know, what is expected to be experienced by May, of, you know, a short-term or a cash flow shortage, if you will.
I'm talking to Terry Stanton, Public Information Officer for the Michigan Department of Treasury. Well, Terry, cash is what this is all about, and one thing Detroit city officials are focusing on is the idea that the state owes the city money, $220 million to be exact. This goes back to 1998 when the state of Michigan made a legislative promise to Detroit if the city would reduce its income taxes, it would, in exchange, receive revenue-sharing money. Governor John Engler in 2002 broke that promise when he was heading out of office, and he did include Detroit in an across-the-board reduction in revenue sharing. When it comes to this money, is it safe to say that Detroit will never see it, and can't it be argued that the city is owed that amount of money by the state?
Well, that was a structure that was put in place by a previous legislature that was, and in fact, one that was, I believe, about 15 years ago, and a program, a plan, a proposal that was eventually changed by a subsequent legislature. And so, you know, the governor has said, the treasurer said, look, that's something that happened 10 years ago. It didn't happen on this administration's watch, and we're looking forward at this point. And, you know, we need to address the city's problems long-term, short-term, ensure that residents have the services that they expect and should be receiving, that buses are running on time, that streetlights are on, and those are, you know, the critical issues moving forward now.
Is this kind of a consent agreement? Is it typically offered ahead of an EFM being assigned?
A consent agreement, it can be enacted as an option in the PA4 process. A review team has to reach a recommendation that it makes to the governor, and it can make a recommendation that a consent agreement, that there's significant stress, but a consent agreement's in place. Or it can find that that there's a financial emergency and recommend the appointment of an emergency manager. Again, the third option is that the review team find there's little or no financial stress, and that would seem to not be the case here. So it is possible for a consent agreement to be put in place, and then if a local unit of government were to somehow or for one reason or another violate that consent agreement, then an emergency manager can be appointed. In fact, that is what occurred in Pontiac 3 years ago, I believe it was. The city had a consent agreement in place, and after about 9 months, had violated it, and that led to the appointment of an emergency manager by Governor Granholm.
Now, this nine-member board, it would have the interests of the city and the state within it, but how will decisions be made in terms of who's taking the lead in deciding how quickly and where to focus the reforms?
Well, I think, you know, what's out there is a structure, and the proposed draft language provides for that structure, and you know, I'm not certain there are a ton of details about how a proposal would start or where it would get to, but that financial advisory board would be able to provide guidance with respect to financial management and the stability of the city, and you know, again, the mayor would have strategic and policy leadership, council would stay in place, and that board would be there to help guide and make financial management decisions.
When Detroit city officials say this is a violation of democracy by coming in there, the state taking over the voice of the elected officials there, what is your response to that?
Well, clearly, the mayor would stay in place, and the mayor would have strategic policy leadership and provide that for the city. The city council would remain in place as the legislative body for the city. So, that's just not the case.
What is your sense of how this is going to break down? I mean, we're, 9 days away now from the review team deadline. Do you suspect that there will be an agreement in place before an EFM is assigned?
Yeah, it would be imprudent for me to speculate on what might happen. What I can tell you is that the review team has until March 26th to report to the governor its recommendation. And then following that, the governor has 10 days to reach his determination. Time will tell where this process leads.
Terry Stanton, Public Information Officer for the Michigan Department of Treasury. Terry, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
No, you're welcome. Thanks.
And we'll be right back. But first, send us some feedback. Let us know what you think. The email address here, capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen, and you are listening to 1320 WILS.